All right, that's great. It popped up and gave me the to approve it, so I was looking for something. All right, well, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for an awesome time. Thank you, Father, for all the great and wonderful things that you're doing in us and the people that we're around. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we're all here in one accord tonight. We're going to pray and believe. People's lives are going to be changed because of it. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that these are wonderful times that we're in. And Lord, it's wonderful times for your elect, but it is bad times for the people out there that are going against your word. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, that even prophecies are being fulfilled as we speak tonight in Jesus' name. And I ask and I pray, Lord, for a great awakening in your people in Jesus' name. Amen. I came across, I guess it was the one that Debbie had put up there. Was it Debbie Missy that put it up there? That David, what's his name? Prophecy. What's his name?
Oh,
Matthew.
you mean David Wilkerson?
Yeah, David
Yeah, that was
Wilkerson.
Debbie. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to play that tonight, and just this was back in 1973 that he gave this prophetic word, and it has been fulfilled, mostly, almost. The whipping's fixing to come. The whipping post is fixing to show up. But anyway, has anybody got anything they want to pray about other than myself? Because I've got something I want to pray about also. Hey, Missy.
Well, this ice storm, weather, snow, whatever that's coming, be still in Jesus' name and go. We don't receive any ice. We thank you, Lord, for sending forth your angels and watching over all your elect. We forbid any power outages whatsoever.
Amen.
No damage to anybody's homes or anything like that. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace in this, Lord. And we just praise you, Lord, for doing that. And thank you. In Jesus' name, nobody, all your elect's gonna be safe. They're gonna use their senses and not be going out when they don't have to go out. And just watching over them and protecting them and keeping them in Jesus' name.
Amen. I thank you, Lord. The same thing here in Arkansas. There's not going to be any power outages in this region right here at all. None. Zilch. And I thank you, Father, that there's not going to be any ice on the roads either. The ice, we rebuke that ice in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, the roads are going to be opened up and it's not going to be as cold as they say. We just rebuke what the enemy's trying to do to us in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for fear out of the people's lives because everybody's getting scared and going out there and buying stores up. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. No, we're not going to have any bad power outages in this state, in Jesus' name, or in Tennessee, or in Philadelphia, or in Ottawa. Well, y'all are used to that anyway, aren't you? Not at all. Not at all. Okay. Or down out in California or wherever. See, where is Benita? Where are you at, Benita? I forget. In Indiana.
I'm in Michigan.
Oh,
Oh,
gosh gracious. That's the Antarctic.
we've had so much snow this year, nonstop.
Have you? Okay. Well, they bury the stuff up there. They bury the electricity up there, don't they?
Some of them, I mean, more. Ours is buried, so that's good.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, Missy.
Trying to think. Oh, I listened to like first 15, 20 minutes of the video that Angelica posted from Brandon saying about the whole weather warfare. and the ice storm and everything that the Lord had shown him that that's coming, but is not going to be anything like. Anyway, he one of the things he said was about
Did you say it wasn't going to be anything like it, like they had predicted? Is that what you were fixing to say?
well, that's what we're believing, right?
Well, I
He
understand,
said,
but what did Brandon say?
well, he said it was supposed to be. Do you, I don't want to give the bad report. It just ain't gonna
Okay,
be.
all right. Okay, all right. I'll shut up.
Anyway, another thing he said was to pray over this up to the 26th, the 3rd of February, praying from now and until then. The 3rd of February is the Pro Bowl, and he even said the Olympics coming up and the Super Bowl. And I listened to it, but then later I went back and I was scrolling and reading and praying in the spirit while I was reading. And when I came to the Super Bowl, I went into a different tongue. And in my mind, what was coming to me is that we just command disruption to all the plans of the enemy in the name of Jesus, that whatever they're planning is disruptive. We send the angels to disrupt it, disrupt their communications, their transportation, that they can't get where they want to go for whatever reason. And that even the people, Lord, you're elected, you don't want to be there for whether something happens or not. Lord, put the fear of God in people. Let your people get the warnings that the times we're in, and take things seriously, and not be of the world and the pleasures of the world, Lord. And by your mercy and grace, Lord, do whatever it takes, or send your angels to keep them from going to the Super Bowl. And Lord, even if nothing happens, they always have these satanic halftime baloney. Sorry, Michael. But anyway, so we just, Lord, we just send forth your angels to disrupt everything, disrupt your elect from going there. We just command complete failure. We command complete failure to their halftime program, entertainment, whatever it is. And we just however that looks, Lord, we just command complete failure to it, Lord. That they can't perform their witchcraft. We cast down their witchcraft, and we forbid any murderous activities, terrorist activities, and we just neutralize everything that they're planning, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for tearing down this satanic halftime. In Jesus' name, we praise you and we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Destroy it with rain if that's what needs to be. Rain and hail in Jesus' name. All right, go ahead, Jimmy.
Regarding the San Francisco area and the Super Bowl and stuff, I had read someplace or heard someplace, and I think this is what I heard, a prophetic word about that, it being a possible major earthquake during the Super Bowl. And I'm wondering, that's why when you said you went into different tongues, Missy, that might be part of that. So Father, whatever is not of your will, we command failure to every nefarious act of the deep state, where there is huge gatherings of people, and of course, the Super Bowl, which is a huge, huge, huge idolatry in this world, and there are just hundreds of thousands of people, and people flocking to the city just to be part of the whole celebration and everything, and to be there, and the gambling and all the stuff that's involved with all that, not to mention just what Missy said too about the halftime stuff and all the commercials and everything that's involved with the marketing and all that. We just make failure to all the deep state's plans, all their satanic rituals and symbolisms and the things that they use during this time. We speak failure to it, and we pray, God, for your mercy and grace that there would not be any major earthquakes up in that city, Lord, although I know judgments are coming there. I know that. And we just pray for your mercy, grace, that it's not during this time, Lord, where there is people from all over the country and other parts of the world coming for this event. So we thank you, God, for keeping a hedge of protection around that city, God, for the purpose of your elect to saving people. In Jesus' name, we call on your name. For your name's sake, God, do we ask this? Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Did Missy or Judy, did y'all hear a prophetic word about the Super Bowl?
Not, I know I read something or heard something about that there. Well, Brandon and other prophetic, prophetic words have warned about things with large gatherings because of what they want to do, where there's been like, the bowls, like all through the holidays, all the bowl events, the college football and that kind of thing. Well, this is Super Bowl. It's like the big deal. It's, we know that. So, but I did remember hearing something. If I can find it, I'll send you the link
I
if I can
vaguely
find
remember
it.
something like that.
But there was something about, I like I said, that there, an earthquake was going to happen during San Francisco while the Super Bowl was there. But I can't.
Who's in the
But
Super Bowl?
I.
Who professional football team?
It hasn't
Yeah, I
been
don't know.
determined yet.
Yeah, I think it's still in the playoffs. I'm not sure who's because it's in like no February,
Okay.
the second Sunday of the month of two,
The
February,
eighth.
so the 8th. So it hasn't been
Okay.
determined, like Missy said. I don't even know. I haven't been following it.
Okay. Anybody else? Lord, we just thank you for keeping your elect out of there, out of harm's way. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Even the Olympics. Because they're over in Italy, and what keeps going through my mind is, as Brandon says, there's a going to be a major volcanic eruption in Italy, and who knows if that, would happen during that time. I don't know, but so Father, even with the opening ceremonies of that, that's the sixth. There's all this stuff coming up. So, Father, we just thank you for your mercy and your grace and all these things and the Olympics and the opening ceremonies for that. Lord, watch over your elect, keep your elect safe. And Lord, we just well, we know we can't pray everything away, and we pray, Lord, for your elect more than anything. Watching over your elect and keeping your elect safe, and that you would not permit anything that's not according to your will. In Jesus' name.
Lord, thank you, Father. Amen. Deep state would like nothing better than to kill a bunch of folks out there.
And we even ask you for your mercy and grace, Lord, that that
Yeah.
volcano does not, I don't know where it's located and where all the Olympics, I think I heard it's, I don't know, somehow I heard, I think it's in like two different locations in Italy, the events and stuff. And we just ask you for your mercy, Lord, that volcano does not go off during the Olympics, Lord, in Jesus' name.
I thought the Olympics was in the U.S. this year, was it? Am I wrong?
It's in Italy.
Gonna be in
No.
Italy, the summer games or the whole thing?
No, it's just the Winter Olympics is in Italy.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? I have something I'd like to show if y'all want to see it, and that is a prophetic word by David Wilkerson back in 1973 that's already starting to come to pass. Do y'all want to see it? It's about 15 or 20 minutes long. I think it's 20 minutes long. I think it's real eye-opening. So I'm gonna go ahead and do it. Okay, let's see here.
The Summer Olympics in 28 are in LA, Los Angeles.
Okay.
Call it vision, a word from the Lord, 2 weeks in a row, every night, an awesome sense of calamity coming to the nation as a result of its sin, rampant sin. I talked about cars and houses not being able to be sold. I talked about a flood of filth on television that was coming, programs that would be incubated in hell. We're going to see the devil glorified on television. We're going to see nudity on primetime television. And it's the prophet Nahum's prophecy coming to pass. God said, "Behold, I'll pour abominable filth upon you." Now, that doesn't mean that God has a reservoir of smut and filth, but the devil does, and the Holy Spirit's been restraining it. But men are clamoring for nudity, streaking, filth, dirty television programming, and they're going to get it.
Yes.
I'm not a prophecy expert, I'm not a prophet, but I got a historical view of how God deals with nations who reach what I call flash points. When they reach these certain points of violence, for example, when the nation became violent, God said, "I'll destroy it." And once again, all through the Old Testament, you eat violence. And every time Jerusalem, Israel, Babylon became violent, God destroyed it. I saw the moral landslide that happens, permissiveness and sexual morals, rampant homosexuality, all of these things. The prophet Nahum, for example, came to Nineveh. You know, Jonah preached and Nineveh repented. 150-year reprieve was given to Nineveh. And along comes the prophet Nahum, and he said, "Now God's going to destroy you. And I'm going to give you five reasons." He said, "You've become an alcoholic society."
Mm-hmm.
"You've become drunken." He said, "Your men have become as women." Now that fits here today so much that we call it bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Your leaders have become as grasshoppers." In other words, they won't make decisions. They promise everything to everybody. He said, "You're running to and fro. Your shepherds have begun to slumber. They're sleeping."
Mm-hmm.
"And your people are left empty and void and wasted." Now, how can God destroy Nineveh for these five sins and allow us to commit the five same sins rampantly and get away with it? There's no possibility of that. The prophet Azariah came to Jehoshaphat. He says, "As long as you trust God, God is with you. The moment you forsake God, God forsakes you." And at that point, America's in trouble. And if we do not have from our government leaders now, we have congressmen who've asked us to vote for them. They're born-again believers. All right, then let them take their stand. Let them not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Let Christ be integrated into the government. All right, then we'll see the Lord keep this judgment suspended. He'll keep withstanding. He'll keep withholding it. He's done that time and time again all through history. But the moment we break his commandments, the moment we become ashamed of his testimony, then black days. I talked about earthquakes hitting the nations in the world and drought conditions. And when it first came out, I lost an awful lot of support. People who thought I should stick to drug addicts. And I was consequently driven to my Bible. Even some of my very closest, dearest friends thought that I had gone off the deep end. And it came to the place where I really wondered if I had just dreamed this.
I saw a vision this past April, so frightening it staggered my mind. And for the past 3 months, I've tried to shake it off, but I can't do it. I've been terribly afraid to share this vision up till tonight for fear I'd be called a fanatic. In this vision, I saw 5 terrible calamities coming to America and the world. First of all, a worldwide recession caused by economic confusion. I saw in my vision at most a few more fat, flourishing years and then an economic recession that's going to affect the lifestyle of every wage earner in the world. The world economists are going to be at loss to explain what's happening. Large and trusted corporations are going to go bankrupt. Many churches are going to go into bankruptcy. And some missionary projects are going to flounder. And one of the clearest messages I've ever received from God in my life is this. Use the next few good years left to prepare for a financial crisis. Get your house in order because hard times are coming. Number 2, I saw nature having labor pains. Supernatural signs and changes that can't be explained by men. Worldwide disasters that we're witnessing right now, I see as labor pains in nature, which are going to become more and more frequent and more intense the closer we get to the birth of the kingdom of God. I saw major earthquakes coming to the United States. I saw worldwide famine, especially in China, India, and Russia. I saw the world's food supplies completely dwindled, millions starving. I saw coming a new kind of cosmic storm appearing as a raging fire in the sky, leaving a kind of vapor trail. Tornadoes, hailstorms, floods, and hurricanes are going to pound the earth with such intensity and violence that all of mankind is going to have to admit the world is under supernatural siege. Number 3, a flood of filth and a baptism of dirt in America. I see the prophecy of Nahum coming to pass in the very near future. God said, I'll pour abominable filth upon you. This means triple X-rated movies on cable television after midnight. This means R-rated movies within the next few years on network television. This means our newsstands are going to be flooded with such filth that Playboy magazine will look like a puritanical piece of trash. It means sex education classes in school will be using animated cartoons and filmed, dramatized sexual intercourse. And just when it appears there's going to be a successful campaign against smut, just when the Supreme Court seems to be ruling against pornographers, when it appears the nation's returning to old-fashioned moral standards, suddenly the floodgates are going to swing open and Satan is going to vomit filth out of hell, and it'll be just as it was in the days of Lot and will vex the souls of God's most devout saints. A persecution madness against truly spirit-filled Christians who love Jesus Christ has prompted me tonight to go into detail and share with you what I see coming in the way of persecution. Now, it was Jesus himself who told us to tarry for a Pentecost. Jesus himself told us the Holy Ghost would fall upon us. Jesus himself promised us power from on high. But it was also Jesus Christ himself who predicted persecution was coming for all true spirit-baptized believers. Jesus predicted it. John 15, 19. Jesus said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of this world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world will hate you. Remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now the purpose of this coming persecution that I see in the Spirit will be to separate and scatter the true believers from the false. Time is running out and the gospel still has to be preached to all nations before Jesus comes. Now the Holy Ghost has been poured out upon thousands. But just as in the early Pentecostal outpouring, disciples still sit around singing and rejoicing and sharing only with each other. Among us are still those who talk in tongues and still live like the devil. But he's going to lay the axe to the root. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's going to scatter his seed to the far corners of the earth. And God's word will be fulfilled. 2 Timothy 3:12. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Number 1, it's going to come as a persecution madness on the earth. I see now persecution coming such as mankind has never before witnessed. This will be a persecution of true Jesus believers, and it's going to rise like a many-headed monster out of the sea. It'll start slowly, subtly, coming at a time when religious freedom appears to be at a peak. But it's going to spread the United States, Canada, the entire world, and finally become a kind of madness. That madness is already upon us. The Antichrist spirit is entering the hearts of certain men in high places already. Government, in the judicial system, and it's led to a spiritual wickedness in high places. And this spiritual wickedness in high places will eventually and soon lead to an harassment, not only of officials, but those in churches, missionaries, and ministers. There's already evidence of this harassment. I see a time coming when nearly all evangelical missionary projects, all religious radio and television programming, all incorporated missionary societies are going to be so closely monitored, questioned, and badgered by government agencies, they'll be cautious and worried about moving or expanding in any direction. Number two, I see rising a super world church. I see the formation of a super world church council consisting of a union between liberal ecumenical Protestants and the Roman Catholic Church, joining politically hand in hand to create one of the most powerful religious forces on earth. And this union is going to start as a cooperative charities program, and it will end in a political union. This visible super world church is going to be spiritual in name only, freely using the name of Jesus Christ, but will in fact be anti-Christ and political in many of its activities. This powerful church union will be deeply involved in social action, tremendous charity programs, and ministries of compassion. Its leaders will make statements about meeting human needs. They'll send out a call for social action, political intervention, and a greater voice in world affairs. There's going to be, fourthly, a sudden, mysterious chain of events. Just when it appears the ecumenical movement is nearly dead, a rather mysterious chain of events will bring about the framework for this union. Rome is going to insist upon and receive concessions from the Protestant ecumenical leaders. The Pope will be considered more of a political rather than a spiritual leader of this church union. Protestant leaders of the ecumenical movement are going to insist upon and receive concessions from Rome. Protestants will not be asked to consider the Holy Father as the infallible head of the church. They accept his political leadership without accepting his role as Peter's successor. I'm not suggesting that the Pope or any of these church leaders involved in the super church will be engaging in Antichrist activity. The Bible talks about something about that line, but I can't get into it now. The Bible, as far as I'm concerned, though, I see something that frightens me, the very core of my soul. I see an army of career people invading the most influential post in the super church. They're going to be ungodly, anti-Christ people, obsessed with the idea that this super church must become a big political power, strong enough to defeat anybody who opposes its actions. And while those that are in leadership are speaking about miracles and love and reconciliation, these hirelings who work under them are going to be harassing and persecuting every religious organization that does not come under their leadership. Fourthly, I see homosexuals and lesbians welcome to the super church union. I see this super world church in the guise of understanding accepting homosexuals and lesbians into its fellowship. Homosexual and lesbian love will be vindicated by the leadership of this church union. Homosexuals will not only be welcome, but they'll be encouraged to continue in their practices. Homosexual and lesbian ministers will not only be ordained and given places of authority, they'll be heralded as a new breed of pioneer evangelists introducing new concepts of love and evangelism. I see in nearly every major city in the United States and around the world, homosexual churches catering exclusively to the spiritual needs of their own kind with full recognition from organized religion. Their Sunday school and church literature distributed to their children will suggest to teenagers that homosexuality is a normal and acceptable form of Christian practice. New dancing in the church. New dancing in some of these member churches will be excused as an artistic form of worship. Men are going to become worshipers of the creature more than the creator. And God will be forced to give these kind of worshipers over to their sins. And as a result, many will be given over to reprobate minds, creating a new form of mental illness that will not respond to any kind of treatment. Now, God will not let that go unanswered. And although new dancing will not become widespread, it's going to be accepted by many church leaders in the future as a legitimate expression of worship. Next, occult practices within this church. I believe this Super World Church will condone certain occult practices. They'll set up study committees to defang the devil, to remake his image into one of a non-entity, bland, someone not to be feared. Now, in some of the most respected, wealthy churches in America, seances will replace prayer meetings, and that's already happening. More and more ministers are going to be intrigued by the supernatural claims of the spiritualist and Satanist groups. And I see the day coming when certain ministers who've never been too close to Jesus will get very close to the devil. Satan is going to appear as an angel of light to deceive everyone, possibly the elect, the chosen of God. I see a persecution through a media struggle. There is at present tremendous freedom for preaching the gospel on radio and television. Never the door has been more open to minister Christ in the media. Christians even own and operate their own radio and TV stations. They're at liberty to pray for the sick, raise money, and promote the gospel in any way they see fit. But watch out. Persecution and harassment is already beginning. There's a sound of change in the air. Christ-centered radio and TV programming will become the target of satanic forces determined to force every one of them off the airwaves. Already, there's a behind-the-scenes movement to establish a kind of rating system for all religious radio and TV programming. And the liberal leaders of this super church council will soon attempt to establish a kind of screening board and force themselves on the FCC as the final authority on all paid and sustaining religion on the media. They want no program to be aired without their approval. The doors that are now wide open are slowly but surely going to close. Christian radio and TV stations should begin to expect persecution and harassment. And I see Satan trying to bog down these programs and stations in red tape, legal proceedings, and tax problems. And Satan will use every tactic at his disposal to remove all Christ-centered programs from the media. And the message I have for all of you who minister in the media is this from the Holy Spirit. Work while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And that's a message for the media. Persecution from Hollywood. Watch for Hollywood to step up its attack against true religion with more expose-type films. Revivalists and evangelical ministers are going to be stereotyped as Elmer Gantries, charlatans, cheats, money-mad comedians. More and more movie makers are going to attempt to debunk our morals. Gospel-preaching churches and ministers are going to come under special attack, while at the same time, the occult and witchcraft will be glorified and sensationalized. Next, persecution from television comedies. TV comedy shows, the Holy Spirit has shown me, will become bolder and bolder and will poke fun at Christ and all true Christians. Comedy writers are going to strike out blow after blow designed to put down sacred traditions. And eventually these shows will be punctuated with four-letter words and anything will go on television. Television programmers will become absolutely blasphemous. And millions of unbelievers will sit in front of their TV sets laughing and mocking as subjects once considered sacred are undermined and mocked and ridiculed. Talk shows everywhere, movies, theaters, debunking Christ in his blood and glorifying the devil. You can expect the faculty to be infiltrated by teachers and professors who have become the unwitting tools in the hand of Satan to undermine the foundations of faith and leadership. Satan is going to attempt to wrest the leadership of these schools and institutions out of the hands of true men of God and place them in the hand of compromising liberals who will not attempt to check the movement toward agnosticism. The leadership of Christian educational institutions had better prepare themselves for difficult times financially and spiritually. Is under control. We hear earthquakes, famines, pestilence, hailstorms, killer heat waves, floods, drastic weather changes are breaking all past records. It looks like nature's out of control. But God's word is clearly predicted it would happen. The wrath of God is to be outpoured on this earth through an unleashed fury of nature, because God is warning mankind the judgment is coming, and these are labor pains, and the closer we get to the birth of his kingdom, more frequent and intensive we'll get until the birth of the kingdom of God. You and I and everything that touches us is now under his control. No matter how things look in this drunken world, all things are still working together to everyone who loves God, called according to his purpose. All right, let the dollar fail. Let the depression or recession come. Let there be unemployment and pollution and inflation and wars and rumors of war. Let the fabric of society disintegrate. For the true child of God, everything is under control. It doesn't matter. Nothing can harm you. He said, look up and rejoice and be happy.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Oh, that is right on, didn't it? What's going on even today? Lord. Anybody got anything to comment? What he showed. Somebody made that up, I guess, because that's what's happening today. That's why the judgments have been loosed. Go ahead, Julie.
I was looking at that. It was the same vision and stuff. It's just that I think it was AO Productions or whatever. They updated it with current visuals. Because I think that if you look on that, Michael, I think it was posted 6 days ago. So they updated it with those recent videos and stuff in the background, what's currently happened. It was pretty appalling to look at, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's right on. He's right on. David was, he warned about that, what, 50 years ago? 50-something years ago. 53 years ago. Golly. That's why that these earthquakes have been prophesied. I believe those are going to happen fairly soon. We're getting some big quakes around the world, aren't we? Did y'all notice that?
Yeah, there was like a 6 point something near Russia today. Yep.
Well, Lord, we just ask and we pray that your people would wake up and go out and start getting the gospel out. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for waking up people. This world is not long for you. This kind of situation, this transgender stuff and all of that is taking place. And, oh my, wars everywhere. Okay. Anybody got any questions? It's happening all over too. It's not just in the U.S. Oh, Judy.
I saw, I think it was 2 days ago now, that there was massive fires in Chile. I don't know if any of you saw that on international news or not. Huge fires, just like they did at Maui. They did it Los Angeles.
These were all generated?
They had to have been. This is not normal. It was like forest fires. And I looked with what they were showing with the data, this particular one of these places I saw was showing was that they had, I think it was the second largest place in the world for lithium. It's in Chile. Go figure. It's a land grab. They want the land. They're, you know, it's the same kind of thing to you know, destroy the land and let people be homeless and all that stuff and move out. And we're taking your land. You can't stop it, you know. So, Lord, we just pray against all that. We thank you, Lord, for bringing down this wickedness and what the deep state's doing. These land grabs, you come in failure to that, Lord, and please restore to these people their land. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let these people who have been doing this be held completely 100% accountable. They will not get away. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? That's working, isn't he? He's working during this time. Yeah. I'm missing.
In Iran, some things that have been going on there that I want to pray about, that when people are injured from all that's going on, they go to the hospital, and apparently they have whoever stationed there, and they're killing people in the hospitals. People go there to get medical help, and they're killing them. They require they have a they require we they require them to pay a lot of money to get the bodies of their loved ones. I'm trying to think what else I read. And I know there's missionaries over there that aren't preaching the full, complete gospel. And Lord, I just asked you to, in the midst of that, you have bring the truth of the gospel to them. And we just pray, Lord, for we know there's a lot of people coming to the Lord, and coming to you, Lord, through this. And we just ask that immediately, Lord, you give them the truth of that you are the healer. They don't need to go to a hospital, and that you are the God of resurrection. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're resurrecting some of the Iranians, especially, Lord, some of your elect to go forth and preach the gospel in a mighty way, doing signs and wonders, and you confirming what they speak with signs and wonders, Lord, healings and casting out of demons. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that for your elect over there, for those of the Christians over there, that they understand, Lord, that they're to turn the other cheek. You take up the sword, you die by the sword. And we just we thank you, Lord, for the grace for them to understand your word, that they love their enemies, and they pray for and for those who persecute them, Lord. And they don't kill their enemies. They love them, Lord. And we just we thank you, Lord, that you are turning all this around for the purpose of your kingdom, of bringing many into your kingdom, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for removing this tyrannical regime, Lord, these Islamic terrorists that have been ruling over the people and oppressing them, Lord, and putting in someone then in there that's favorable to Christianity, favorable to freedom of religion. And we just thank you, Lord, for doing that, Lord, and that your people not be over there, not be afraid to meet, Lord, that teach them what it means to praise and thank you in the midst of the storm, Lord. You're enthroned upon our praises, Lord, and praises defeats the enemy, Lord. And just ask you to put a boldness in them, a faith in them, no fear. In the name of Jesus, we command fear off of all your elect over there, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And nothing but love in their hearts and boldness, and that they would speak as oracles of God, and that nothing would be able to shut them up, Lord. That they speak of your love and your blood that was shed for them and for others. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for the mighty revival you're doing there, and that you're going to spread all over this earth in this great end time harvest. In Jesus' name, we praise you and we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
Missy, aren't they saying too that the cost of food and just basic necessities, they couldn't afford it, that nobody had the finances, nobody had the money. Well, Lord, we just pray, Father, for this restoration of wealth and this transfer of wealth and everything that you've promised, and we know it's coming. These things come to pass very quickly. In the meantime, Lord, supernaturally provide for your people there, God. These people who are need food, they need the basic necessities, Lord, that all this is met. Their daily, miraculously needs, God, that they would be taken care of by your grace, Father. And we just send the angels now to bring them the food, the water, and whatever financial needs they have, whatever material needs that they need, Lord, taken care of. And as Missy prayed, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for bringing just supernaturally, God, their families together, that you would restore their family members who have been murdered, Lord, directly to them, that they don't have to pay money to get their bodies. That's ridiculous, that they're able to honorably put closure on their loved ones' bodies and remains, Lord, to supernaturally restore their bodies to them or resurrect those that you want to resurrect, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for miracles there, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing down this evil. Thank you, Lord, for bringing down this principality over the Islamic, this religious, satanic cult, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that down.
Amen. All right, anyone else? I heard. What is that? Oh. What were we going to talk about tonight? I've been busy this past few days. Yeah, Julie.
Didn't you say that we were going to talk about our identity in Christ? Is that what it was?
Yeah, our creation in Christ, yeah.
Yeah, right. Our identity, our new creation.
Yeah. I think we were going to talk about the new creation, what we are and what it means to us. We had that revelation. I started out with that away. Who in the Bible had the new creation message? Yeah, Julie. I'm not gonna do anything.
Wasn't it the Apostle Paul?
Yeah, it was. The Gospels didn't know anything about it. The disciples didn't know anything about it. They didn't never even mention it. It all came from Paul. He had that new revelation. Anybody want to comment on that? Yeah, Missy.
We're new creatures. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Yep.
The old man is dead. Praise you, hallelujah, Lord. And the new man, Jesus Christ, in us, the hope of glory, has risen. And we're overcomers because he's the overcomer in us. Praise you, Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, go ahead, one of you guys from up there in Canada.
I always liked Ephesians 2:10.
Yeah.
For we're God's. Sometimes you got to put the His and put the word in there that's supposed to be His. We're God's workmanship. We're His workmanship, and as it says, you know, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works. Everything about this is a grace, you know, upon good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. And goodness is a fruit of God's Spirit. The creation is a new creation. It's the new inward man. He wants to give you the glory to have that inner man. You know, there's a lot of really neat 3:16s out there. There's John 3:16. There's Ephesians 3:16. That's really cool. You know, where he wants to share his glory with you. And, you know, it's really interesting when you change the he's and him's there to God and God's power. And then he tells you, like right in 17, who the inward man is, you know, that Christ dwell in your heart by faith, that rooted and grounded, you know, like, and, you know, when he says rooted there, you know, it kind of reminds me of where the roots go deep, yes, but to be rooted in something, grounded in something. Grounded is a term used for electricity, but to be rooted and grounded into that Christ, the height, the width, the length, and the depth, and to have the knowledge past, you know, which passeth knowledge, the love of Christ, you know, because some people, they quote the word by letter, and they don't quote it by love. And, you know, knowledge could be both puffed up or built up. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, it shows you both of that. And also, when it passes knowledge, that means it builds you up. It builds you up in love. So. And we're to love the brethren, and we're to love God. We're supposed to show the love of God to everyone in the world. You know, the obedience to God, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And this love aspect is, yes, it's obedience, but it's a behavior that we have too. We don't let anyone let you get you going, or the things that are happening in the world get you going into some wrong direction of behavior. Because he who calleth you is holy, be therefore holy in all your behavior. And that's in Peter, and you're promised holiness by God. You shall be holy because I am holy. So really God wants to sanctify us, to be living and active in his word. And that's Jesus Christ. Yeah. The righteous shall live. So we got to be living and active. Amen.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? I like 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. But all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you, Jesus. New creation is an awesome, awesome thing that we have. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
You know, the reconciliation almost sounds like your cross that you're supposed to have, you know, because you're supposed to take up your cross and follow him, as Jesus said in the Gospels. And of course, Paul agreed with him when he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. And you know, Jesus was sacrificed, but he died and he rose again. Yes, but we are the living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing unto God, your spiritual service. And be not conformed down here to this world, you know. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you know, God is love, and that love has to go into your mind to love the Lord your God with. As Jesus says, when the one answered him, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind. And to love your neighbor as yourself, you show this love to your neighbor that you have to God, of course. And because yourself there is not the soulish life, it's the new life, okay? And Jesus said, answered and said, thou hast answered right, do this. And this is your discipleship, do this and thou shalt live. And living and loving is together in that verse. So, you know, it's hard to show love to your enemies, but you have to pray for them that despitefully use you, you know, and to love your neighbor and to love God. You can't hate anybody. So you got to love and show this obedience. Show the obedience to God. Don't use the word this because it can sound like disobedient, but show God's obedience to the world. And I always think, you know, all these different European languages, from Portugal to Poland to the Pacific Ocean, you know, they've had this New Testament in their various languages now translated. You know, it's no longer just in Greek or in Latin, but I'm sure the Greek and Latin is not that far off from, and most of those languages that went out to colonize the world had this word for over 1,000 years. And they know what it says there. And yet they're determined, even by the law, to offend the law of God. But we need the fulfillment of the law, you know. So, which is the love, you know, for this is not the law of God. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. And, you know, I remember the first time I read these verses, I noticed that it says, for whatsoever. So it's the fruit being birthed. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth? By Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. And there's three overcomings there. And there's faith there, and of course, love is mentioned in 1 John 5 and 3. So, faith that worketh love. Anyway, it's so much that, you know, it kind of depresses me when I listen to, when I hear that prophecy or that video that we just played, because, you know, they should know better. You know, we're from those languages. We're all speaking English. You know, they seem to think that world trade and commerce is not as important as God's love. They put commerce and trade sometimes at a high end that, you know, when you read James chapter 4, you ask, but you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So, you know, war and fighting, something that wars in your members. When your members that are feet and hands are supposed to be like Tabitha hands, where you're making clothing for the brethren. You know, I'm sure she made a lot of baby clothes, you know. I remember some of those grandmas that used to love knitting, you know, because my daughter got a lovely, when she was a baby, and lovely knitted clothing, you know, for a little baby, you know. And I'm sure they would sew things. And these women that looked after not just Jesus, but all the disciples too, you know, I'm not saying that's woman's work alone. Someone has to go pick it up too, you know. Someone has to catch a fish with a gold coin in his mouth, and of course he's got lunch there too. So Peter was a fisherman. He didn't throw the fish back, I don't think. And praise and glory to God, how God would provide even back then for Peter. Anyways, praise and glory to God.
No, that's something that the Lord, the last couple of weeks, has been talking to me about, is to show the love of Christ. Show the world the love of Christ. And he's right. That's what Jesus did. That's all he did. He showed his love, even to his enemies. All right, anyone else? That was a quick subject. New creation is really a really deep subject if you get into it. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Do you want to make a comment on that video? I think it's my understanding, my two cents is the world and their thinkings and all their doings. They think God has love. They don't understand God is love. It's his nature. If his nature is us, if his nature is love, if you're in God, your nature should be in you as love. And it should be the same as God. And then if there's God's nature is love, there's no evil, there's no thing outside of God except love and truth. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Yeah, spot on. Best kind of love is God's love. All right, anyone else? E.W. Kenyon has some real good books on that new creation, and David, of course, does too. And it's two different views, same message, not views, but ways of getting it out there. And it's both of them real. You put them together, and it is really a good testament to who we are in Christ. All right. Yeah, Benjamin.
Just so that we were on this topic, kind of, a verse popped into my head, and it took me a while to find it because I haven't read this book in a while. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things upon the earth or things in the heavens. So that's that new creation, that new indwelling, that spirit that moves through us. That's our new creation. This God is in fullness indwelling within us, which is so cool. And I'm just going to bring it up again. I brought it up on Tuesday in John chapter 17, when Jesus said, thou in me, and we shall abide in them, or something along the lines of that. I haven't read it in a while. Yeah. They shall be one as we are one. So the fullness of the full body of Christ, God within us, that's the creation. And that's just what I'm going to add to the table. Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry, I haven't got any more tonight. I've been real busy the last few days. So it's been kind of hectic for me. Oh, anything else y'all want to talk about? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
No, in relation to the video, which is mostly stressing nations there, and, you know, I have this verse in, I think it's in Ephesians, I'm not really sure. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye no longer should walk, see, there's a different type of walk in there, as the nations in also walk in the vanity of their mind. So you know, God subjected all creation unto vanity, because he has a hope for it, that they come out of this vanity. So that's more kind of showing what it says there in that video that we saw or heard. And also, we know the future time that comes where the first beast blasphemes God, his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell therein. And the second beast has two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon, and to speak a different spirit, you know, and that is exactly what it says later on in about that second beast, and that it gives spirit to this this image that it's making, and this spirit of speaking is not the speaking that we're supposed to have. It would be a speech that is living and active in the wrong way, and we have to live and be active in the Word of God. So that's because they are not associating the name as a spirit that we attain. You know, the name, the anoma, the nature, character, and authority is that spirit that we get, the new life in Christ Jesus. They don't associate it that way, and perhaps the Lord is trying to show them that this anoma, this name they're supposed to have, which is also mentioned in that chapter 13, but it's a different anoma, it's a different name, and it's a different image, and it's a, you know, we all can behold by faith in a mirror, But they're beholding a different image altogether in that mirror. And of course, the mark, which was taught to me to be a karagma, like a notary stamp, could speak volumes to you, because as a printer, you're supposed to do printing on a page, but we are also described as a page in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, as an epistle known and read of all men. So that's our mark on the page. That is upon our souls for God to put his law or word written there, which is the new covenant. And if you're going to have a different word written upon your heart and mind, that is what will manifest. So we don't want to manifest or love darkness, as it says in John 3:20, which is just a few verses away from John 3:16, because they love the darkness, you know, and that love there is agape. And we have to have in our tongue at all times, as was said, the oracles of God, and every word read, every word heard, every word spoken, and even the word that pops into your head, which the Lord is actually training us when temptations come, we get trained not to have that word. And praise and glory to God, you know, that the Lord knows what he's doing. And to harden ourselves against an opposing word is a wonderful thing for the Lord to work in us to so that the spirit would have its way, not the flesh. Anyway, this is all known about you, but sometimes you can meditate aloud on it, you know, and that's always good to do that too, you know. You know, you can pray without ceasing, without saying the words, actually. You can just be thinking them in your head, too. And that's a prayer the Lord hears, too. He knows all things. And we are flesh and blood, and we need to depend upon the Father that even Jesus had to. Praise and glory to God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Just sit around and talk about it. About scriptures. All right. Anyone else? You got a song, dear? You want to play a little song for us?
Yeah. You want to give me share permissions?
Yeah, just a second.
Thank you.
I gotta find it. All right, I feel it. Well, it's a
mine's update. A little green box on the bottom. Is yours?
I updated. I should have done that.
Oh.
Just a minute. I'll find it.
Yes, you will.
Okay, see if you can do it now.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. You can request sharing. So I'll send a request, see if you get that.
I got it.
Okay.
Maybe that's the way to do it now. I don't know.
Oh, shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground.
Alive, alive, praise and glory to the name. Ready, alive, alive, alive. is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, worthy is the one who has overcome.
Daughter down. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Father. Praise God. What in the world? Thank you, Jesus. I want to play. Y'all mind if I play one right quick and just right close to that one? It's even a little more. I'll just show you.
The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Then just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, I looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. Oh, the stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. So we both ran to the garden, then John ran on ahead. And we found the stone, an empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, because I'd seen them crucify him. And then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. So even if he was alive, it could never be the same. Then suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Then Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Oh, but then he raised me to my feet. And as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. Oh, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
What a great song that is. Glory to God. Y'all act like you didn't like it. Yeah, there you go, Ben. Yeah, praise God. Okay. Yeah, that's one of my best songs. Go ahead, you, Missy. Yeah.
I am. Noticed that Barbara wasn't here in here tonight. So I texted her and she finally responded. She said she's not feeling well and she keeps falling asleep. So, well, do you know what's going on with her? We just rebuke this. She's not under the curse. And by Jesus, by your stripes, she is healed and all pain is gone in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. She's healed.
Amen. Thank you,
praise
Lord.
God. Thank you, Jesus. We break the curse of that spirit of infirmity off of her right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's loosed from her. You be loose from her right now in Jesus' name. And I bind you from coming back. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Anybody got anything they'd like to share or would like to talk about? Where did Andrew and Ben go? He just left us, didn't he?
They're in the kitchen. I bet they're getting munchies.
You reckon? Not y'all. There it is. I asked Michelle a while ago if she had any hot cocoa. I'm fixing to get me some of that. Yeah, Benita.
Hello, everyone.
Howdy.
I was just last week or Tuesday when we were talking about faith, and I just where did I put that? I just was had some thoughts and I wrote them down quick because I knew I'd forget them if I didn't. So I was just going to read to you what I wrote down. Here it is. So when I was at a Baptist church, I had faith, but it was different. I knew I had been, oh shoot, I forgot to put my glasses on. Hold on just a second. Can't read what I wrote. Here I go. Okay, sorry, here I go again. I knew I had been saved, and I believed the Bible was the truth, but Satan had me questioning it at every trial and even in the good times because I didn't feel like I was doing anything special for the Lord. The difference is that now I actively claim my faith. It's mine, and the devil can't take it. I didn't know about it's in the Bible, but we didn't really ever talk about it in church about doubt and unbelief. And now I there can't be doubt and unbelief. And my faith was granted to me, and it's a perfect gift. So I think the biggest difference is the having no doubt or unbelief. I know that I can't have that now. And I still question it sometimes, but jump back to those scriptures about double-mindedness. I understand now about spiritual warfare now, but didn't as a Baptist. So now I actively bind those spirits of doubt and unbelief, and I fight the battle, and I can rest in my faith. So that was just some stuff that came to me when I was thinking about the difference between when I was a Baptist and how I actively claim my faith now. That's it.
Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, Julie.
Infinita, I get attacked with doubt and unbelief and stuff too, because the devil doesn't want you to hang on to your faith. He wants you to give it up. So he attacks our faith. At least that's how I look at it. So you're not alone. It's just different now. It's different than when we were nominal Christians, right?
Right, right. We didn't know about that. I mean, at least in our church, we didn't ever have that spiritual warfare. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah. See, now you're born again in Christ, though. So now the devil wants to steal it.
Yeah.
That's why you're under attack. I have a question for you, Bible scholars. It's in Matthew 22, Mark 12, and Luke 20. This is where Jesus was, the Sadducees came and talked to him about the resurrection. You know, the Sadducees don't believe there is a resurrection. And they're saying, teacher, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first married and deceased, and having no seed, left his wife unto his brother, and the second in like manner also, and the third and the seventh unto the seventh. And after them all the women died. After them all the women died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife shall she be? Because they all had her as wife. Now I understand what Jesus is saying here. But what I don't understand, and I'm just trying to figure it out, what all do you believe the seven brothers represent? Everything has a meaning. You know, so I was like, well, is this, you know, the churches, because the church is usually defined by a woman, but this is seven brothers. And, you know, the woman I looked at, like that was the apostate, the woman who bore no seed because she couldn't, right? They didn't leave any seed. I looked at her as the woman church because they weren't producing anything, right? But I didn't, I just wonder what you all think about what do the seven brethren represent? Have you ever come across that and wondered yourselves what that means?
I I haven't, but I got kind of an idea. I'll let somebody else to go there.
That's in it's in three gospels. It's in Matthew 12:19 through 23, and then Luke 20:29 to 33. Those in those three gospels. So just wonder what everyone else might think about what that what they represent, because do they represent, well, their brethren, you know, who do they represent?
12:19 of Matthew.
Matthew 22, starting verse 23. And Jesus, you know, corrects him about, you know, you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. But I was just wondering what the, you know, about with the resurrection and stuff. But I was wondering what the seven brothers represented, maybe.
Andrew, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, you have to look at the what they're doing, what they're trying to do to Jesus here. The people who are Sadducee and not Pharisee, that their Pharisees tried to work on Jesus before that in a certain story before that, and. That's the Roman coin, you know, that they tried to get Jesus all messed up. You know, they wanted to, what's the word say there? They wanted to entrap him in the word. And good luck with that, because his name is the Word of God, you know. So you can't entrap him with the word, you know. Even in the book of Acts, there was a guy who only had the baptism of John, and he refuted with the law people, and he was with just the baptism of John, he was capable of refuting these Pharisees. And but then the apostles took him aside and explained more clearly to him, and he was even better at it after that. As we all, I was thinking about this word refute. You know, I don't know exactly what it means, but you know, there's a conflict there between. The one who is the Word of God and the one who's trying to show forth a new covenant that's coming, and that he is the one that they were always waiting for, the Messiah, and now they're trying to test him. You know, they've always tried to test him, like he was doing miracles right there in the temple, and they wanted to see a sign from him after he just finished his sign sometimes. So, you know, I think this is just the Sadducees having their turn at Jesus, you know. And it's just a story that they came up with, you know. And of course, you know, you'd think that the Sadducees would have known better, that God would have intervened with this woman somewhere to give her offspring, you know. Because he did say, you don't know the power of God. And nor the scriptures, because you know, he later mentions that he's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And you know, living is the Word of God and active, and in him we live, move, and have our being. And so you know, if you're talking to a dead person and Jesus is alive, you know, alive, alive, he's alive, you know. So, you know, you're sharing that life with him. So as to what these seven brethren are, I can't put anything on it. I don't have anything, but I'm just reminding you as to who's being tested here. And, you know, I remember the first time I read when they were going to try and catch Jesus in his word, And I went, man, would I ever like to have that, you know, and not be caught in the word? Because, you know, when you know there's an opposing word, and then there's the word, so you need to have the word. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, comes in his name, and he's going to teach you all things, and he's going to remind you what he taught you. So maybe there is a meaning for it. If there is, I'd sure like to know it too. Praise God.
Michael, did you get your hot cocoa yet? Are you back?
You know, he should get the carnation, you know. They're little envelopes you can empty into the cup and just add boiling water. And you can get marshmallows, too, in them, you know. And, you know, I got extra marshmallows because we made some Rice Krispie squares. And so it's really good. You just fill the whole thing up with marshmallows, I'm telling you.
Michael. Hey, Joe, do you have any answer? Do you have any idea? Do you have any clue? Do you have any insight on that one?
Give me a few minutes.
I got those, Andrew, the carnation cat. Heard well, Michelle has them in there. She put them up. No, something came up. I had to take care of it back there. Sorry about that. All right. Anybody got any input, any more input on that? How about you, Missy or Josie or Benita? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Well, the only thing that comes to me is that seven means perfection. Don't know.
That's good. That'll work.
Now, I don't think this is it, but I was just brainstorming. And what came to me was the seven-headed beast in the harlot riding the beast. But I don't think that's it. But I don't know. 'Cause it says,
Eagle eye.
for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as angels in heaven. Well, I'm sorry about that seven-headed beast, and the harlot is not going to heaven. But anyway, I don't know.
Pot
Beats
smoke,
me.
but no cigar. Okay. Well, I guess we answered that one. They were just trying to trick him, wasn't it? Yeah, Andrew.
It seems to me like they're ganging up on Jesus there, because when he silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees came back again with another question. You know, I guess the first guy wasn't a Pharisee. Maybe he was just a law guy, a scribe or something, you know, and like he's being bombarded with, and of course he silenced them at the end, because he mentioned the son of David at the very end of that chapter, you know, and And it was after that that no one asked him any more questions at all. So, yeah.
He finally got smart, didn't he? Now we can't trip him up. He trips us up every time. But they had that stupid demon.
Well, they kept trying to trip him up in the law, you know. That's where they really tried to get him at. He knew the law. He was the law. He wrote the law. He is the law. I mean, you know, he is the law.
Absolutely. Yeah. Come on, try something else for us.
Yeah, just thank you, God. You guys are going to do all that too. They won't be able to refute your words. Praise God.
Amen. Go ahead, Joe. Oh, Missy, you had your hand up. Never mind. Go ahead, Joe.
I would say what come to me, I'm not saying this is an answer, but seven means also when God raises from his work. In other words, when men's all doing what he was doing after the 7 days, you must not let your own works dream. You must not be in God's work. That's what Jesus said. You don't know the scriptures. Leave the physical, be in the spiritual. Leave your own works. What I think the seven would mean rest from your own works, that God worked in you. In other words, you have to see spiritual and they see physical. Because the Sadducees don't believe in resurrection. But why do they answer in the resurrection? That's just by asking what they don't believe. You know, but I'm not sure why they ask me anything like that.
I think that he asked them that. So in the resurrection, because they're trying to disprove there's a resurrection. So who in the resurrection? I guess they all think whatever they're going to be married. You know the whole marriage thing. So I think it's related to the marriage too. You know what marriage is in. Both the natural or what the spiritual is, because that's what they were trying to allude to trap him in something, and with the law and marriage. And so if there really is a erection, you know, and you have to keep the law, whose wife is she going to be? Because they all had her, you know. I don't know.
Missy?
I think it means perfection and stupidity, thinking they were going to be able to catch Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, Andrew.
I believe there's another account of this where the resurrection is brought up again in the book of Corinthians somewhere. Where they were questioning the resurrection again, where Paul is debating this with I'm not sure if it's the Corinthians, but he's saying for tomorrow we die, and I can't remember exactly where it is, and he's questioning them because the question comes up somewhere in after the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I distinctly remember that it's in there, and I don't know exactly where it is. Maybe there's some information there about it, you know, because they question this. The question is posed to him again, because apparently maybe some Pharisees after the cross and resurrection somewhere, and maybe in the Corinthians, did the same thing, you know, there was a question about this about the resurrection of the dead, you know, and it's in, that's actually what it says in one of the verses there. I just can't remember where it is. But I know it was questioned again about the resurrection, because the Lord used that for me, because there was something in the news a few years ago here in Canada where they did something crazy around Easter. I don't want to go into that.
It's in 1 Corinthians 15, 16, for if the dead are not raised, neither hath Christ been raised. And if Christ hath not been raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins, and it's and I think further, I think this is where it talks about too, about then one's being the dead, one's being baptized for the dead. In other words, if there's no resurrection, what's the purpose of being baptized? Whatever. We talked about that the other day.
All right. Yeah, Andrew.
Just on a side note here, you know, the baptism, as it says in Romans 6, that you rise to newness of life, and there is, it's easily compared also to the circumcision of your heart, and it's also compared to the reconciliation, and it's also compared, or not compared, but collates with your cross, and also with your yoke. Okay, and I like the analogy of the old ox yoked to the new ox, as the farmers used to do it. But you know, the yoke is inside out, and you tend to think it's that he's beside you, and he is, but he's leading you. And anyways, it's just that those five analogies work together. The baptism, the circumcision of the heart, the reconciliation, the cross, and being yoked to Christ.
Amen. All right. Everybody got a prayer request? Lord, I thank you for bringing down the deep state. Thank you for bringing down the medias that are putting out this garbage. And thank you, Lord, for bringing provisions to everyone that needs it when they need it. And us also here in the UBM. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, let your elect not suffer during the times ahead, Lord. We thank you for it. Lord, I ask that you would give us all bold faith to believe the things that you've told us, and that we are thinking and promising you, or not promising, but fellowshipping with you, and thanking you for it. We praise you, Lord, that we're going to see miracles. We're going to see all kinds of good miracles that'll bring people into the kingdom. Praise be to God. Go ahead, Missy.
You know, with these extreme cold temperatures too, we just forbid that to even come about. Nobody is going to have frozen pipes or burst pipes or anything like that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Send the angels to keep them warm.
Amen.
And command the temperatures to come up and it not be nearly as bad. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord, and thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
No damage from cold weather, from freezing, anything.
Not at all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. I bought a heat bulb this afternoon to put it in our well here to keep the pump from freezing. It'll do it. But we got out of the house. We're gonna have to run the water, but. We got the angels under there working. Thank you, Jesus. I know it's tough down there, boys, but it's all right. You got to handle. Thank you, Lord. No, me. We just rebuke the real cold weather. We rebuke all the precipitation they're trying to put on us. We're not going to have none in Jesus' name. We're just going to have just a cool day. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Hawaiian weather coming to us. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead, Andrew. Did I see you raise your hand? Okay. Sorry. Y'all got, is it cold up there, Andrew? Is it?
Apparently it's supposed to get cold, but we just pray that down.
And, amen.
Pray for your loved ones, your families there, that nothing happened to their residences either. Thank you, Lord, for that too, that nothing's going to happen to that residences, those pipes or anything. Lord, it's just going to be a little bit colder than usual, but not damaging. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I thank you for more faith in this family. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that we're going to have a miracle, and that miracle is going to transpire here in the next couple of days. And there's going to be a revival starting this area in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I declare and decree it by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Father God, I also ask that you would send dreams here like you send to other people in the Middle East, that you would send dreams verifying to them who you are, and that they would dream about you, Lord, in some form or some way, because we know that does happen over here in this nation also, and it can happen. So we ask, Lord, that you would do these dreams and visions to people, as you are pouring your spirit upon all flesh. And of course, Lord, that there would be someone nearby that would be able to convey what's going on with them and what just happened with them to solidify these things also. In Jesus' name I pray. And
amen.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you stir up the spirit of Andrew and Ben, that they get to hooping and a hollering in there at the Holy Spirit, and the fire would come out the top of the house. Glory to God, and the people around would be hollering at the fire department to come down there and put that fire out. And there ain't no way in the world it'll happen. They're going to come up there and get Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And I Amen. Ask that for us too. And Joe too.
Amen. Yeah, yes.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, y'all. Looks like we've got another one down. Not down, but through. Praise God. All right. Go ahead, Joe.
Can I make a quick well, last comment before we leave?
Sure.
You muted yourself, Joe.
You muted yourself, Joe.
Sorry about that. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was Ben asked what was thinking about that guy who took a linen cloth and he was running naked away when Jesus was arrested. I would think, well, what come to me is the innocent Jesus was arrested and the guilty the world. He represents the world naked without any, the world. He presented the naked guy, represented the world naked with no righteousness. They were setting free and the guilty was arrested. That makes any sense. Do you understand what I said, Julie?
Yeah. He was referring to the time, your question, Ben, that you asked a week or so ago about the who was the person, the man that they, when Jesus was arrested, there was a man that they stripped him of his garment and he was running away naked. And you're asking who he was or who he represented. And Joe was saying that Jesus was stripped and naked and the guy running away, it's like he was, let me see if you got this right, Joe, that he represents those who are naked in sin because Jesus became naked. He bore our sin. So it was like a representative of that. Is that what you're saying, Joe?
Jesus, the innocent, was found guilty. The world was guilty, was innocent of running away. He represented the guy, the naked guy, represented the world. Naked,
The
one
world.
without all the sin, no unrighteousness. But Jesus, who was innocent, was arrested. In other words, it's the opposite. In other words, what was right is now wrong, and what was wrong is now right.
Okay.
Is that more clear to you? Understand?
I did, but did everyone else? Ben, did you get it? Did you hear it and understand what he said?
All right. Well, we're out of time again. Y'all keep praying for me. Just believing with me. Just all I want you to do. Just believe with me. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right,
Amen.
Julie, it's up to you.
All right. Lord, we just pray for Michael right now, and we lift him up to you and his family, and we just pray blessings on him, that you keep them in in perfect peace and keep their minds stayed on you. We thank you, Lord, for this awesome miracle in this time, Lord, and we'll just all keep praising and thanking God to be part of this miracle, Lord, that we're going to hear all about it. It's going to be an awesome testimony and change lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right.